You've been at this 38 years, including this latest Pennsylvania case. What is the best physical evidence that you've found, collected, or even seen?
The best physical evidence that that I've enjoyed and is some of the the physical evidence we find on the abductees, or in this case, in the Pennsylvania case, we actually found in their home. They actually had a print of a large hand, which I put on, it's on your website, as a matter of fact, and under my presentation there tonight, it shows a whole series of handprints on the wall there, and we actually removed the sheetrock because it had a suet material, oily-like material, to the huge handprint. Now, I have very large hands, and those fingers are about nearly 4 inches longer than mine.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. You say 4 inches larger than yours?
Yeah, when they're stretched out, they're curled down. They're longer than mine, even though they're curled down. If you straighten them out, they're about 4 inches longer. They're very, very similar to young man I saw on your website, a young man that had a handprint across his chest, and I wrote him about his event. And I said, I want you to look at this hand that I'm going to put up there tonight. I said, the reason I'm asking you to do this is because it's very similar to the same size of the hand that's on your chest. And I said,
yeah, it's very hard in this photograph that you've supplied, and I'm looking at it right now, to make out the scale, the size, the actual size.
Look at the, if you can, go to the, I'm going to pull that up myself here. But if you can...
You've got a...
Yes, sir.
Oh, I see.
Yes,
all right.
Just pan down.
You've got a ruler there.
Yes,
yeah, you've got a ruler there.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
The thing
That's
is
big.
Huge. I've never seen one that big in the UFO phenomena. That's just very unusual.
Yeah, I needed to scroll down. Yeah, I see you've got all kinds of scaling here. Okay. Yeah, it's big, all right. Holy smokes.
And then when I saw that one of the young man with the hand across his chest, who woke up in the morning with that big print on his chest, I thought we may have the same guy here. So
How did this handprint get on the wall?
The young man describes the entity, even consciously, at some of these events consciously, the entity leaning against the wall there. And, of course, naturally, I talked to them. She was doing a lot herself. But I had mentioned to her that we need to check this with a fluorescent lighting and different kinds of light infrared and ultraviolet lighting. Mm-hmm. And she started doing this as best she could before I got there. And she actually took a marker and drew around the suet that was there to give an illustration of how much material was left on the wall. Obviously, we want to do DNA testing on that and find out if there's anything there that we need to know about.
Okay. So you've got this. What other evidence have you actually run into? Have you ever been presented with a piece of spacecraft, a spacecraft?
Well, we've been presented with several things that that in theory were part of a spacecraft, and after I examined it for nearly 2 years, I found out that it wasn't. It was a piece of high-tech material, but it in fact was not part of the. And they alleged it was a Roswell craft. The guy that gave me the piece paid $35,000, do you not even believe this, to an ex-CIA guy who also was a scammer, in my opinion, and was out of the company and was bootlegging, doing all kinds of things, including break-ins and everything else. And he met this guy, and the guy needed the money, and so he gave him this piece of high-tech metal and said, this came from the Roswell crash. The guy bought into that, paid him $35,000, and it took me a year and a half to finally figure out that had nothing to do with anything. Not really.
All right. Well, how do we know any of this is real? And by that I mean, how do we know, and I know that the people who are reporting abductions and all the rest of it, really, truly, I don't for one second doubt that they believe what they're saying. But there's a gap between that and being able to prove that it really happened, that it that all this is real, that it's not just made up bunk or sleep paralysis or whatever.
I agree with you. There was a CNN called, and they spent 2 days down here at my home and asked if they could come up, and they said, we'd like you to debate Dr. Susan Clancy at Harvard and so on. And I said, there's no debate. I said, I win. She says, no, that easy. And I said, yeah, it actually is.
Oh, no, 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 wait a minute. How do you win so easily?
She said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, the problem is, I said, you're asking me to debate, and it was Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs and myself. You're asking us to debate her viewpoints. I said, her premise is incorrect. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, she's assuming that everyone's asleep and they're having sleep paralysis. She said, yes. I said, young lady, I said, I was abducted when I was hunting in a hot New Mexico desert at 16 years old. What kind of sleep paralysis do you think I was having in broad daylight? I said, do you know that over 60% of abductions occur in daylight or in waking times? I said, her premise
okay,
is incorrect.
But you know, let me play devil's advocate for a moment.
Sure.
There are instances of people having psychotic slips, having all kinds of psychiatric short-term problems that are remembered by that person in certain ways, even during waking moments. How do you prove it, Daryl?
Dr. Gene Mundy, Professor Emeritus, Long Island University, did a study specifically. She teaches this on a PhD level. I said, why didn't you call her in as one of your consults? She will tell you that by and large, the abductees, and she's interviewed many of them. She said, these people have no psychopathology. Same thing John Mack and others found out. There is no psychopathology that is resident in these people by and large. They're normal, natural people having amazing events. She said, first of all, hallucination isn't even formed that way. And you can't have group hallucination over 50 years. It isn't going to happen. It's not the nature. Should I teach this on a PhD level?
No, but we have not moved all. We haven't moved all of this, Daryl, from the anecdotal story to hardcore proof of any kind at all that takes the whole abduction scenario from stories and certainly interesting stuff to reality. I don't know how we move it from here to there. Do you?
Well, one of the things we've done is to focus on, this is exactly our viewpoint, is to focus on physical evidence. And this is the reason that the Pennsylvania case interested me, because in my view, if we don't provide the medical and scientific community with good, solid evidence, we're not going to be able to make a case, period. That's why I finally wrote a book after 38 years, because I think now we can make a case. I think we've got sufficient evidence now, we know where to go.